And U.S. President Joe Biden is expected to sign a long-awaited executive order this week, which will direct Justice Department, Treasury, and other agencies in U.S. to study the legal and economic ramifications of creating a central bank digital currency.
This is Rigged Against You. I'm Terry Saka. Today, we're going to discuss Project Icebreaker. Now, this is the real end game. It's very interesting. This is going to be a very good program. Icebreaker is what I would call the end game of the central bank digital currency. And it's not something that we're just calculating, not something we're making up. We're actually going to show you clips from the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, of what Project Icebreaker is. And this is a big deal because this is the ultimate plan that I contend will takes us to the new world order, one control group, one currency. And this is the game plan. And they're actually laying it out for us. Icebreaker is considered SWIFT. And for those, SWIFT is the interbank money transfer system. It's what the United States does to control finances. It's how, like, say, banks in America would send money to a bank in Italy. They would use the SWIFT system so that interbank transfer allows corporations, international corporations, to send money to one another in other countries. Through the banking system, it was a little slower. There was a little more cost to it. So you're going to see how they're trying to spin the narrative to make Icebreaker the control group. Icebreaker is going to be a central bank digital currency or a centralized currency hub where two currencies like an American dollar can come together with a euro and then they can meet up and trade. But instead of using SWIFT, they want to use the BIS central hub called Icebreaker. Now, the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements, a very interesting group in themselves, they are the central bank of central banks. They have a house, not a house, but they're housed in Switzerland. They have their own police force, and they're under no country's laws. This is literally the entity, if we were to ever outline a one world order entity or those sitting in the mahogany room, it would be these guys. The Bank of International Settlements is the one that coordinates with all the other central banks around the world. They dictate to the central banks the policy or what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. That's why you see a lot of central banks in the world kind of coordinate. It's really the Bank of International Settlements that's doing the coordinating. But now it's just going to be purely digital and 24/7, and they're trying to make it sound like it's going to ease international trade and transaction. The SWIFT was used by the United States as a tool. And a couple examples, one from France, it was a few years ago. It was a French bank that went against the sanctions for Iran. And of course, that was a time when it was President Obama, and they ended up putting sanctions on that bank for violating the sanction to Iran. They put about a $5 billion fine to that bank because they violated sanctions. And because the United States controls the SWIFT, controlled the way countries can change money from one to another, this bank had no choice but to comply, and they had to pay this enormous fine. And then just weeks later after that, if many remember, we started dropping off, $150 billion or something in cash to the Iranians. And here we go and do just what we said the French bank couldn't do. But the SWIFT was how the United States controlled people. If you didn't do what we told you, we would put sanctions against you and you couldn't use the SWIFT. And if you couldn't use the SWIFT, you couldn't trade or you couldn't send money to other banks or other countries. So it was kind of our way of having a monopoly, having control over the world. Well, Russia and China and others figured this out years ago. They actually have their own version of SWIFT. So when the United States put sanctions on Russia, they didn't exactly stop them because the Russians were already prepared. They're able to do money in a different style of interbank transfer that wasn't exactly SWIFT. So we already started losing the control, which is very interesting why we're at this war with Russia and Ukraine. Many factors, not that Russia has 70 trillion in natural resources that the West wants to get their hands on, but it was because they were starting to violate and go around the international monetary control, you could say, right? And that's what Iraq did. That's what Libya did. They were actually going to do energy in another currency other than the dollar. And of course, that would violate the petrodollar standard, which we couldn't have. Of course, that has happened today. The petrodollar is gone. Saudi Arabia has declared it. Many countries around the world right now are declaring the dollar is no longer really needed, which is extremely bad for the United States. But I want to show you this first clip that comes out of the BIS. So this is the Bank of International Settlements. Remember, they are the control group, the one world order power elite that dictates to all the central banks of all the countries of the world. They're going to, initially, they're talking about how there's a problem right now with things like in the United States. We have a payment system like Venmo or Apple Pay, but we can't really use these to pay other people in other countries. So they're going to kind of explain how this works. And they're going to, as you notice how they're spinning it, they're trying to make it a very positive development in the way we do international trade and financial transfer. But I'm going to get down here to the end and I'm going to show you what they're not telling you. And you're going to be stunned because this is no doubt the creep to the one world order. So take a look at this.
Communicating or sending large amounts of data around the world is cheap and easy. But sending money to another country is usually expensive and slow. The way money travels across the globe relies on many intermediaries, increasing the complexity, time, and cost of transactions. One of the main difficulties is that most payment systems are designed for domestic payments, not for international payments, and often do not communicate with similar systems in another country. The reasons for this vary, for example, due to differences in legislation and technical systems, and different working hours in various countries. The development of central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, and the underlying technologies that can be used could offer a solution.
So what they're trying to do is show that all these nations have individual payment systems, but they're struggling to pay within nation to nation or business to business that's around the world. So here's solutions. And then they start working in the idea of a central bank digital currency. Now, many of you by now have probably heard the central bank digital currency and the trouble that it's going to cause. It's actually FedPay, FedNow, I believe. They're already instituting it. They're doing it now for really just businesses. My guess is the next step is they're going to force people that take money from the government to use it. Central bank digital currency is going to be a form of blockchain financial payments that the central bank controls. So think about every single transaction that you make, the central bank will be in control. They'll see it, and don't you kid yourself, they'll be databasing it, and it will be programmable. So this gets really ugly, and I know many of you have heard about the central bank digital currency already. They're now implementing it around the world, and they're starting to kind of make it as somewhat of a norm. Lagarde over in Europe, I think she's president of the EU right now, she got caught on a hot mic talking about how they want to use the digital currency, the central bank digital currency, literally to control people. And she even said that we have a mechanism. So if it's 300 or 400 euros, that we wouldn't have any control over that. And that actually frightened her. I mean, this is really strange stuff. They want 100% control. And don't think they haven't tried it here. Biden actually put up a lady for the comp controller, currency of comp controller. And she was literally from Lenin's school of Lenin in Russia. She was a full-blown communist. And unfortunately, her papers and writings just was too much for some of the senators. But she was going to take over the leadership of all the banking system in the United States. That's what the currency comptroller does. They were going to demand, I don't know if many of you caught this back when they said it, they were going to demand that all banks report any transaction above like $600. Think about that. Every single transaction you did in the bank was going directly to the IRS, directly to the federal government. This is what the central bank digital currency is going to be about. And you can start to see how totalitarian and authoritarian that's going to be and how we will absolutely lose our freedoms. So this blockchain concept that they want to do, they're starting to say that each country can take their central bank digital currency, go to the icebreaker hub at the BIS, and they can do their exchange there. They no longer need the SWIFT. So all these CBDCs can work together. They can start going 24/7, and they can go through the icebreaker hub to get it done. Well, let me go in and let them explain a little bit more. Here's another part of the video of what they're explaining about the central bank digital currency and its role. Take a look.
CBDCs used between consumers and merchants are known as retail CBDCs. Retail CBDCs could offer advantages such as faster transactions, more competition in payments, lower risks, and safety in the form of central bank money. Countries around the world are researching and experimenting with retail CBDCs, with many pilots underway. The central banks of Israel, Norway, and Sweden have joined forces with the BIS Innovation Hub Nordic Centre in Project Icebreaker, which aims to explore how retail CBDC systems can be linked together to enable efficient international payments.
So as you can see, they're building up the idea of efficiency to the central bank digital currency. Now, mind you, towards the end of this program, I'm going to lay out the things they're not telling you. But the central bank digital currency, they're laying out the positives, they're laying out the efficiencies, and they're saying how the central banks around the world and the financial systems around the world can start working together. Of course, all of them would have to go through the central hub of the CBDC of their country, but they're making it positive. So here's another clip that shows how they think the CBDCs work together when it comes to trade. Take a look at this.
Project Icebreaker is exploring a specific model linking national retail CBDC systems together. The Icebreaker Hub routes payments and allows national CBDC systems to talk to each other, despite being based on different technologies. In this project, different distributed ledger technologies used by each country for their proof-of-concept CBDC systems were connected to the Icebreaker Hub.
So you can see how they puff up the idea of a central bank digital currency working together to solve problems and inefficiencies in global trade. Now they're going to get in this very last clip here I want to show you. Now this all comes out of the BIS. So they're not hiding the idea, but I think they don't think we're sharp enough to understand what this really is about. And they're trying to make it seem like it's just about evolution or progressive nature of finance and efficiency and lower cost, but that's just not true. This last clip kind of wraps up and explains the benefits of a central bank digital currency, the national currency system, and how they can use Icebreaker Hub at the BIS, and there will be no more SWIFT. So take a look at this.
Project Icebreaker has demonstrated that central banks can implement different technologies for their national CBDC systems that meet their needs and enable cross-border payments with minimal requirements. Further areas of work are still necessary, but the lessons so far can guide central banks when designing their national retail CBDC systems. Project Icebreaker, breaking new paths for cross-border payments.
So you can see they're making it seem very attractive. that this is just a natural progression of global trade. But underlying, and what they're not telling us, is the absolute tyranny and authoritarianism that's going to come from it. This is the stuff they're not telling you. The Bank of International Settlements is going to literally become the One World Order central hub, icebreaker hub. Now, they're saying initially the CBDCs can work together, use the hub to do transactions, but it starts to get a little deeper than that. What standards are they going to have? The BIS, if they control all the money flow around the world, what standards will they have? Will they start demanding that each country, if you want to do financial transactions, you have to do ESG, environmental and social governance? You see where this goes? Or will they say that you can't do a financial transaction if you don't have your vaccines? Do you see how when a central authority like the BIS can control all the money, and if everything's digital, they can start placing demands? Look at what we're seeing now in the attacks on Christianity, in the attacks on certain groups. Heck, just look at the attacks on the conservative group, the censorship. If you're a non-compliant, like in China, they'll literally shut you down to the point where you can't use trains or airplanes. So if the BIS starts taking all the control and all the central bank digital currencies go through icebreaker hub, then the BIS starts laying out conditions. Very similar to the United States, mind you. Now, we did that with SWIFT. That's why we fined the French bank so much money, because they violated the sanctions against Russia or Iran. When the BIS gets control, mind you, they have no governing body from a nation. They're under no laws, and they have their own police force. So who's going to tell the BIS what to do? Nobody. They will be literally the One World Order authority in dictating to any nation, if your people don't have a vaccine, or if your company doesn't subscribe to the ESG, or if your company doesn't do the A, or if your company doesn't do B, you can no longer do financial transactions. You're out of business. You see how dangerous this concept is. Now, it goes a little deeper, because the Icebreaker Hub Exchange has something with different currencies to it. What they're trying to say is they use bridge currencies. So let's say Iran wanted to do some business with Canada, and somehow the currencies were having trouble. Let's say one of the currencies was really low in value and they just couldn't do the trade properly. That's why the US dollar is being used so much, because everyone knew kind of a parity with the dollar value. Most currencies were pegged to the dollar. Well, when you start taking currencies from different countries and bringing them together, they may not always match up in value. So then how do you do the transaction? So the Icebreaker Hub is saying, well, we'll find another currency. So if Iran wants to buy something from Canada, we'll go buy, let's say, the Dutch kroner or something, and then we'll do the swapping for you. And all this will happen simultaneously and digitally, and everything will probably work out fine. But what happens when the currency goes bad, or there's issues with a certain country, or in this case with Russia? Now there's sanctions on Russia. So how do they handle that? So all of a sudden now they're starting to immediately, you notice, they're already developing the concept. Well, yes, central bank digital currencies can all come through the Icebreaker Hub. But then we start setting conditions to that. Well, now we realize, wow, we're having problems with some of the currencies. We need a different solution. What might that solution be? Well, one of them would be the BIS central bank digital currency, or the IMF. Now, the Bank of International Settlements is working on their very own digital currency. And the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, that's basically controlled by the West, they would be using the SDR, which is known as strategic drawing right, and they're creating that to become a currency. One thing, if you notice, I'm not saying and you're not hearing, the United States dollar is no longer the reserve currency. Under this condition, we lose reserve currency status. That is a really huge deal because of our debt levels and how much we've actually printed in the trillions that's around the world. Now, this isn't happening right away, but from the videos you're seeing, they're already doing it. They're putting it in place and they're starting it with certain countries around the world as test pilots right now. So all of a sudden they start, once it gets going, they say, well, we're having problems with this currency meeting up with this currency, and maybe we need to get rid of every country's central bank digital currency, and we need to go just to the BIS currency or the IMF SDR, their own, to solve the currency issues. Now we'll have no need for a national money. So now all of a sudden, you and I and we the people, literally our financial transactions will be controlled through databases right in the central bank, right to the One World Order BIS or IMF currency. Think about that. Then what happens? Icebreaker becomes the sole central bank digital currency, One World Order control. Because now they realize, well, instead of having national currencies, let's have a single currency. That's the One World Order idea, right? And then everybody goes through the central hub. Now, this sounds kind of crazy or almost conspiratorial, doesn't it? They're actually doing it, though. The video you saw was from the BIS. And now, mind you, these are the Luciferians of the world. These are the darkest elements of what controls money. And if they can actually pull off, the important part about this is we need to understand that it's all about controlling us. If we, the people, allow the central bank digital currencies to come to life. Now, granted, they're already attempting it now in Europe. They're already attempting it a little bit here in the United States. If we allow them, we wake up and say no, they will not be able to do it. Because the one thing the power elite cannot control is the masses. And you're starting to see that in France. France is literally falling apart right now because the people are protesting so much because they want to raise the retirement age. When the people wake up, the power elite lose. And this icebreaker, this Project Icebreaker, is the ultimate end game to the One World Order financial system. And they'll incrementally do it through central bank digital currencies. But the worst part about even the central bank digital currency, the digital money, not only will every transaction you have be reported straight to the IRS or the Federal Reserve and then go into databases. Let's do it this way. What happens if you drink too much coffee? And they know because they see your transactions and you're drinking a lot of coffee, and somehow some moral high ground bureaucrat decides, you know, people shouldn't drink this much coffee. And believe me, they think this way. Now, we in the United States have pretty bad laws, but we're not nearly as bad as Europe. In Europe, the EU, they are just lunatic. They literally pass laws, one of them, where kids under 12 years old cannot play with balloons. Think about that. Why? Well, there might be a choking hazard or something, right? I don't know. But it gets insane what they'll do. So you have too much coffee and they say, well, you're drinking too much coffee, you're going to have to calm down. Or you're eating too much red meat. And if you're eating too much red meat, you're contributing to climate change because cows are bad, especially when a cow farts. God forbid a cow farts. They've been farting ever since day one, and I don't think it's destroying the planet. But let's say they say you eat too much red meat, therefore you're contributing negatively to the climate change. You're not environmentally being responsible. Now, this is where it goes. So then your health insurance company says, we're going to have to cut off your health insurance because you're eating too much red meat. You see where the control goes. When you allow, if we, the people, allow them to have digital money and control us, it will become programmable. So you will no longer be able to speak out. You will no longer be able to speak against the queer nation. You'll no longer be able to say political parties and have differences of opinion. They will censor everything. And if you become one of those non-compliant, and if you don't do what you're told, not only will they cut off your insurance. Look what they did in Canada. Just because they were protesting the vaccine mandate, they went into the bank accounts of the truckers and took their money. They forced the insurance companies to cancel their policies because they were non-compliant. You see where this goes in the future if we allow it. They will do it, and it will all be based on what they say we're supposed to do in order to protect the environment, which is a complete lie. Has nothing to do with the environment. My opinion, the whole idea of environmentalism as far as the climate change stuff goes, has nothing to do with climate change. It is such a lie. They've been saying this for 40 years, and everything they say has always been wrong. It has everything to do with bringing us into submission and enslaving we the people to the point we don't do anything outside of what they say. This would be beyond Nazi tyranny. And they will get away with it because they can program your money, even to the point they can have the money expire. So if you have $5,000 in your bank account and they really need people to spend money, they can force you to spend your money. You will no longer be able to save because they need you to spend your money. If you don't spend it, well, we're going to put it to zero. We're going to program it and make it go to zero. Or if you speak out on the internet about anything that they object to, and we've all seen this, look at the lies they put out during the pandemic. All those lies that have been proven that the conspiracy theorists were right. They lied to us. And then everything when they say this is misinformation, they were the ones putting out the misinformation. So you want to talk about communism, tyranny, and authoritarianism at the highest level? This is what programmable money does. This is what a central bank digital currency will be. And then when you allow it to go to Icebreaker Hub, one entity that is under no country's laws and has its own police force, where do you think that goes? If you become one of the non-compliants, they could tell you you cannot travel more than 25 miles away from your house because it's all digital. It's on your cell phone. So if you travel more than 25 miles, your money will no longer work. Now, for all of you that are sitting there going, this is ridiculous. There's no way it's going to happen. You better wake up because they're already doing it. China is already doing it. Number one, just go research that one. But they're already doing it. This is how they want to rig the system against us. They want to take all of our freedom away. They want to enslave humanity. And honestly, it's probably even more about depopulation than enslaving us. Businesses will go out. People will be poor. And as Klaus Schwab, that absolute evil Luciferian, said out of his mouth, you will have nothing and like it. This is the objective of Icebreaker. And this is where they want to take us. We the people must say no. Do not use any form of digital currency that comes out of the central bank or the Fed now. And if you do, you're guilty. But just keep in mind, there's a bigger plan and they have the steps laid out. They're just working out the bugs. And I have a feeling once that pandemic treaty is signed in 24, there's going to be a miraculous other pandemic out there. And it's going to shut the system down one more time. Or as we outlined last week on the program, a cyber pandemic, something else is coming that'll give them the ability, once they work out the details of how to connect these digital monies together, something is going to come to force us to our knees where we literally will have nothing and we'll have to rely on the government for everything. And we, the people, if we want freedom, must say no. And here's the best part. It's not just a Democrat issue or a Republican issue. You can go from a gangbanger in the hood up to some yuppie in a big city tower. We all have the same interests. We want our freedom. Can you imagine the harm they would impose upon the least of society? It would be unbelievable. And wait until you see where we go next week, because it shows you how they're doing just that very thing. They're preying on the least of society, the middle class, the lower middle class, the lower class. Those are the ones that are in harm's way from these control mechanisms, because when they take total control, for all of those out there, especially on the left, that think socialism is grand and communism is great, you are so absolutely fooled. Because once they get you, you yourself that's advocating for socialism will get minimized. And if you don't believe it, go to Cuba, go to Venezuela. And bottom line is 10% of the power elite will have everything. They will have all the food, all the linens, all the luxuries, and the 90% of the population will shut up and sit down and eat bugs. And they're actually doing that. So until next week, God bless each and every one of you. This is Rigged Against You, and I'm Terry Sacca.